Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The pound falls further against the euro, but is this good news for investors? ISA savings limits are rising, but how easy is it to put more money in? And as the stock market rally continues, is it worth holding on to a with-profits endowment? All this to come in this week's FT Money Show. I'm Matthew Vincent, and I'll be giving you the lowdown on all of these money matters in downloadable form with my colleague from FT Money, Steve Lodge.
Hello.
And no fewer than two special studio guests, Gareth Shaw from our sister magazine, Money Management.
Hi there.
And Adrian Locock, Senior Investment Advisor at independent advice firm Best Invest.
Hello.
So let's start with the money news. This week, the pound fell to a five-month low against the euro after the Bank of England warned that foreign investors may no longer be willing to purchase UK assets in the future due to fears over government debt. This pushed sterling's exchange rate as low as €1.10, its weakest since April, and one currency analyst suggested that the pound will head down to parity against the euro by Christmas. But while this will make your festive Eurostar shopping trip more expensive, it arguably makes European investments more attractive, as euro-denominated share prices and dividends hit new highs. So, Steve, who do you think this is good for?
Well, it's not good for Mrs. Lodge, who's been told to put away her snow bunny outfit because she won't be going to the Alps in January to do her skiing. Nor is it good for our New Year's Eve celebrations in Paris and so on. It's good, though, for people who already hold European investments. Sterling investors already hold European investments. Now, Europe has had a pretty dreadful credit crisis in terms of stock market performance, a bigger falls even than the UK. However, for British investors, because of the currency effect, the weakening pound, the returns have been better. And so, actually, when you look at a graph of most European Union trusts, which many people hold in ISAs nowadays, you're actually about 10% off a five-year high, which is an outright better than most stock market investments.
Well, exactly. A lot better than being, say, in the UK stock market. This currency effect is something that we've seen in previous years, with funds investing in the US and investing in Japan. It's a very significant factor that investors really need to take account of, isn't it?
It is. Many experts say that the whole credit financial crisis, we all know that many different assets have been extremely volatile, stock markets, bonds, and now they're saying currency is that much more important, as you say. I mean, it was possible early in the credit crisis. Everyone thought, oh, credit crisis is terrible for stock markets. And yes, the stock market effect for many investors was down, down, down. But actually, you almost had that cartoon effect of European investments remaining high because of strengthening of the euro. So the clever ho-hum investors like the Steve Lodge Pension Fund sold out some European investments when the euro was high, but while the financial crisis had really taken hold on the rest of mine and other people's portfolios.
Let's take the Steve Lodge Pension Fund as an example then. So if you were looking to play a belief that sterling will weaken further, and we will see almost parity with the euro towards the end of the year. What sort of assets are we talking about? Would you buy individual European equities? Would you go into a fund?
Well, the weaker sterling is, the more expensive it becomes to invest more foreign assets. So it's good, if sterling is weakening, it's good to already be an overseas investor. I think I'm right in saying, Adrian. But it makes it more expensive to go out there and buy, much like going on holiday.
It does do. I mean, the thing to be sort of aware of is that as it goes down to parity, you're getting close to perhaps what is the bottom of the trading value, and it could easily come back to historical levels of about 1.4. And I mean, we've seen it this year at the beginning of the year where it got close to parity and it bounced back 5-10% very, very quickly. So whilst you can make money in the currency transaction, you can lose money equally rapidly as well.
Exactly. I mean, if it goes back to, it bounces back to 1.4 and you invest now, of course, you're, never mind what the stock market does, you're going to lose something on the currency.
So just very quickly, Adrian, would you advise anyone to try to get into European funds now, or is it too late?
I don't think it's too late, because a lot of fund managers, whilst they won't necessarily hedge the currency out, companies will. And you'll get some very competitive international companies that are based in Europe, and you want to exposure to those because they will benefit from a global recovery, and there'll be some strong players in Europe that will play on the global field as well.
Well, the counterpoint, of course, there is that a strong currency will be hurting exporters. So Germany, the world's biggest exporter, possibly bar China, German exporters will be hit by a strong euro. And you'll hear this bleating from exporting companies that when their currency is strong, it's that much more expensive, that much more difficult to sell their products abroad.
So swings and roundabouts, but some opportunities still in European funds. Thanks for that, Steve and Adrian. And for more on investment opportunities in both ISA qualifying funds and some small cap shares, pick up a copy of FT Money with this weekend's FT, or go online to ft.com/money. Still to come on the show, should you cash in your with profits policy? First, though, ISAs. In just over a week's time, on October the 6th, the annual allowance for investing in tax-efficient individual savings accounts, or ISAs, is going up from £7,200 to £10,200 for anyone over the age of 50. Young whippersnappers like us will have to wait until next April before we get these higher limits. But for millions of older savers, that means it's possible to top up a stocks and shares ISA by £3,000 in a few days' time, or put in an extra £1,500 into cash ISAs. Good news, you might think, but not necessarily for everyone. Steve, this seems like a very straightforward thing. The limits are going to go up from the 6th of October, so you just go along to your ISA provider and say, here is some more money, put it in.
Yes, it sounds so simple, doesn't it, Matthew? But here's number one complication, which is actually a good complication. You don't even have to be 50. You only have to be 50 by April the 5th, so you almost qualify.
not quite.
But I think the issue of topping up existing ISAs that you've taken out this tax year, this is where the nightmare comes in, isn't it, Adrian? Where you're over 50 saver, you've taken out your ISA already, not knowing that the rules were going to change, and now you can put in more money. How easy is it going to be?
For a lot of providers, you will be able to do that, and they will accommodate the extra contribution. But for some, they just don't want to spend the extra administration, perhaps, on the cost of actually accepting it. So it's an administration issue quite often. There are a few products out there where you've got things like fixed-rate cash ISAs, structured products. The terms of those products were available at the time, but are no longer available now because things have moved on and quite rapidly in terms of the rebound in the markets. So you might find it difficult, and some providers won't actually accept top-ups.
So what can you do if you can't actually get the top-up, or you don't like the terms on offer, which is, I think, what you're saying with fixed rates and so on?
There's actually very little you can do. If it's in a fixed-rate bond, you can't transfer it. If it's in a cash ISA and there's no fixed rate, you could transfer that to another provider and top-up. I'd suggest you start looking to do that sooner rather than later, because it might take a little bit of time to get that transfer completed. But if a structured product, you'll be tied up for the life of that product. It might end up being relatively expensive to try and get yourself out of that, and therefore not worth doing.
These are the things where you invest in the stock market and you get the stock market upside, but you're guaranteed to get your money back, that sort of thing.
That's it. Yeah, they give you a capital protection on the downside and sort of a percentage of the participation on the upside.
So I can see how topping up at that point after we've had a 50% rally is not Well, it's a different calculation, basically, isn't it?
It is. The providers of structured products just, you know, they have to calculate these things quite sophisticated and in detail. So they can't just issue the same thing out now that they did 6 months ago. It wouldn't work, and it wouldn't make the investor the money, and it certainly wouldn't be profitable for them to do so.
But of course, we being journalists want to highlight the bad news. But you generally think, of course, that this is a sort of wonderful boost to what you think is a great savings scheme, do you not?
I think it was pretty much the good news out of the budget for savers. The news on pensions just muddied the water further. ISAs with the £10,200 limit, that's good news for most households. That's a good sum to put away. If you save those over 20 years, you're going to have a very nice pot of money that you can take a tax-free income from. So it'll be a retirement plan for many people now.
And our listeners, of course, are some of the people who may be hit by this 50% income tax, top rate of income tax in the next year or so. And they may well be the other people who are hit by the limitation of pension contributions as well. So this presumably increases the relative attractions of this accessible tax-free pot.
Very much so. I mean, beforehand, you might have put all the money into a pension pot because you get the tax relief on the way in. But you don't, now you don't necessarily get the tax relief for the whole sum. So you can't put as much in. So you'd use up your ISA allowances each year. And if you're married, husband and wife ISAs, that's, you know, £20,400. It's a lot of money to be able to put into an ISA. Also, you can tap into the capital at any point, which you can't do with a pension fund. So the benefits are sort of there, a bit broader. The only downside is you don't get the tax relief on the way in.
One final question. Your biggest investor with the biggest ISA portfolio, how much money have they got?
Well, with it all, it's probably in excess of £500,000, but that might include a few PEPs as well, because they're all now ISAs.
That's almost as impressive as the Lodge ISA portfolio, isn't it?
Oh, almost, Matthew, almost.
I've just got one quick question, which is, I just want to be clear on this. Let's say I've got a fixed rate cash ISA, and I'm imagine if you can that I'm over 50. Difficult to do. I like the rate. From 6th of October, I go to my ISA provider and say I want to put another £1,500 in at this fixed rate. If they say no, what are my options?
Okay, well, first of all, you need to realise they might say no anyway. They'll just say, sorry, it's closed, or you've invested a lot. You can kind of ignore that. So let's talk colloquially about top-ups, i.e. adding more money in. They may turn around to you and say, they may say that you can top up at the rate that you originally had. Say you had 3% in April, you top up now at 3. Or they may turn around Nationwide, for example, Nationwide Building Society says you can't top up the original rate, but you can top up at the new rates, the currently available rates. Now, in their case, they're generally better.
Oh, right, so I could be better off.
Yes, but then there's another. You remember a couple of months back we were talking about a fabulous Newcastle Building Society, 5% bond, 5% ISA, where you just had to give notice. So it was actually really a notice camp paying a huge rate. Now, with that one, if you want to top up that rate, I was told today that you're only going to be offered about 3%. So you are going to be hit with a lower rate there. Now, if you are offered a rate that is deemed to be very unfair, there may be a case for just saying to the ISA provider, you know, please waive your penalties and I'll transfer elsewhere. Or indeed, can you do something about this? Because there are issues of fairness there. And it could even be worth, depending on the deal, of course, in transferring away. We're talking here about structured products and fixed rates. Probably not, to be fair, I think, from what Adrian's saying. The penalties tend to be quite high. But it's something you should consider. And some experts out there, just to make it even murkier, are suggesting, well, why don't you just go down the road, dare I say, lie to a third-party building society and put your £1,500 in there and see what the revenue does.
Yes, well, I'm not sure we should advocate doing
that.
But it's certainly worth asking your provider. So thanks very much indeed for that, Steve. And again, Adrian, and for a full explanation of which ISAs you can top up and which ISAs you can't, you can read Steve's definitive guide in FT Money this weekend and online at ft.com/money. And finally today, with-profits endowments and with-profits bonds. The 45% rise in UK share prices since the beginning of March has given many investors a welcome boost, but not those in with-profits funds. According to exclusive research from the FT magazine Money Management, every life insurer offering a with-profits endowment has reduced its payout this year, and many policies have underperformed for years. But there has been some good news. The stock market rally has prompted Friends Provident to scrap the penalty for exiting its funds, known as a market value reduction, or MVR. But Prudential, AXA, Scottish Widows and Standard Life still apply MVRs if you try to cash in a policy with them, although they could be set to reduce or remove them in future. So, Gareth Shaw from Money Management, you're the author of this research, which has looked at the performance of with-profits policies. How's it been?
It's not been very good, actually, Matthew. With-profits endowments performance figures have fallen again. And it's been like that for the last 15 years. In fact, since 1994, the average maturity value of a with-profits endowment has halved. To give you an example of this, this year the average return is 39,931. And that's an annual growth rate of about 7.1%, but it's way off what it was returning about a decade ago. Some of the worst performers have delivered really miserable returns. Life Association of Scotland, very old life office, that's delivered £23,785 this year. That's growth of 3.5% over a quarter of a century of investment. So it's not fantastic.
3.5% is not the best over the periods that you're talking about. And those figures you're quoting, are they for regular monthly premiums?
That's for a £50 per month regular premium over 25 years. So that's an overall investment of £15,000.
So basically, investors in with-profits funds are not seeing the benefit of what's happened to markets, certainly in recent months. But they are seeing the benefit in terms of these exit penalties being removed by Friends Provident. What does that actually mean in practice?
Right. Well, with a with-profits endowment, the majority of them are conventional policies. So they were written with a basic sum assured and an annual bonus and then a final bonus when the policy matures. And they don't actually have an MVR applied to them. From the early 90s, it was policies were written as unitised, and that's when an MVR can apply. So it will be in about 6 or 7 years' time when MVRs start hitting with-profits endowments. But for with-profits bonds, which are unitised, the MVRs are applying. And the last research we did on this, 80% of companies were applying an MVR to their with-profit bonds. With a stock market rally and things picking up, they may be reducing them, certainly cutting down the rate at which they're making reductions or getting rid of them altogether. But time will tell on that. It's very early days to see whether or not they're doing. Friends Provident is the first.
So if I can just bring in Adrian here, the performance hasn't been great from certainly the average of these with profits funds. If the exit penalties are coming down or disappearing, as in the case of Friends Provident, and you can get out without penalty, is now a good time just to get out, take your money and run?
I think you do have to start looking at them again, because if the MVRs do come out, and last time they took a little bit long to drop these MVRs, so that you might see only a few do it, and then it'll be a while before things settle down, before they'll actually come out. But it's worth reviewing them, because even with the MVRs, you might actually view the cost or the opportunity cost of cashing it in and taking it is actually worth doing. But you have to look at that on a case-by-case basis. It depends how much the charge is, how many years you've got before the charge is dropped. But by reviewing it and possibly taking your money out, you can regain control of it. You might be able to put some of that money into the pension fund or into an ISA and you know, get the tax relief, which will add on to performance. But against a sort of an average performance of 3.5%, I think there's definitely a strong argument for having a look at them and looking to put them elsewhere, because that's not a great return.
As you say, if you take the money out, you have control over where it goes and you have better access to it. But just finally, Gareth, what's the downside of cashing in your with-profits fund early?
Well, the downside is that you don't get a terminal bonus if you do surrender early, and that is the risk. I mean, only two companies failed to pay a terminal bonus this year, so on maturity of the policies. So it is worth sticking for that terminal bonus. And also, if you do cash in too early, if you wait 15 years with the policy, you may get your original investment back, you may not. But any shorter than that, you're not guaranteed to get back what you've already put in.
So it depends how far in you are to your policy and how much control you want over your money. Well, thank you very much for that, Gareth, and again, Adrian. And if you need help deciding what to do with a with-profits policy, do read Alice Ross's analysis of your options in FT Money this weekend. And for the complete, definitive survey of with-profits fund performance, pick up a copy of the November issue of Money Management, which is on sale from the 27th of October in WH Smith and all good newsagents. But that's all for this week's FT Money Show. Remember that you can get weekday news updates on our website, ft.com/money. And you can read and comment on our latest blog posts at ft.com/moneymatters. You can even follow us on Twitter from that webpage. We'll be back next week with another financial lowdown in downloadable form. But until then, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Steve, from Gareth Shaw from Money Management, and Adrian Locock from Best Invest.
Goodbye. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.